Again, we're good to see everybody this morning. We hope that this is the beginning of a very good week for everyone, that whatever your plans are for this week, whether it be work or activities at home or being with family, whatever it might be, that you will be able to just do everything that honor and glory of God. We just want to always remember that, that we are here to serve God, do His will. No matter what it may take, no matter what it may mean, we will serve God in all situations. Let's always keep that in mind. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That's what Paul said. Let's bow the word of prayer. Father, we are thankful that we can meet together this morning, thankful that we live in a country where we have this blessing. We know, Father, that we are pressing along. We are trying to walk in the light and do your will. And we confess, Father, sometimes we make mistakes, we sin, we're sorry. We know, Father, we need forgiveness from time to time. But we know that forgiveness is there. When we confess our sins, you will forgive us of our sins. And we're thankful for that mercy and that grace that you have for us. Bless us now in our study, Father. We are grateful for the word. We're grateful that we have the word in our language. We're grateful that we have helps like Bible studies, Bible concordances, and Bible dictionaries and commentaries. Let us never forget that the only book that really, really matters is the Bible. It is your word. Bless us in our study this morning. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. For scripture reading this morning, I want us to turn over to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read three verses, begin in verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, begin in verse 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus had done a series of miracles in Matthew chapter 8 and 9, and now he gives us an incredible invitation to everyone to come unto him. The fact of the matter is, the miracles did prove that he was the Son of God. Nicodemus said in John chapter 3, he said, "No man can do the miracles thou doest except God be with him." John recorded at the very end of his book in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, many of the signs that Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe, and that believing you might have life in his name. Paul wrote to the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, to talk about how Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. That is that miracle that happened, showed obviously he was the very Son of God. Here we have this great passage, this invitation that Jesus gives, and many, many people have read it for comfort. It's been read at funerals. It's been read in times when people have stress and difficulties. But there are also some doctrinal points that this passage gives us that I want us to just kind of look at for a moment this morning, because I think that sometimes we miss some very obvious things. First of all, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden." It shows that man is a laborer. We have people in the world today who insist that nobody is really wrong. You just have your ideas about right and wrong. I have my ideas about right and wrong. This one has their ideas. They have their ideas. But there isn't any real right or wrong. And the idea of saying that man is separated from God is just anathema. It's just terrible in the view of so many people in the world today. How dare you say that somebody is separated from God? What's what the Bible says? Paul talked about that in Ephesians chapter 2. He said, "You have he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins." How did it happen? Were you born that way? No, you weren't born in sin, but you did commit sin. The prophet Isaiah talked to the people of his day. He said, But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, says the Jew, that he will not hear. Now we need to be aware of the fact that there is a word the Bible uses, and that is sin. It's something that people don't want to talk about today. A number of years ago, a psychologist wrote a book called Whatever Became of Sin. It wasn't a great book, it was more about just dealing with psychology. But the title was just something that people really had to think about. Whatever became of sin, whatever became what was really right and really wrong. Paul talked about this again in Ephesians chapter 2. He said that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, but without God in this present world. That's the condition that the Ephesians were in before they became Christians. It's the same thing that Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 3:23, where he said, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. He talked about the wages of sin is death in Romans 6, verse 23. Jesus said, I have said therefore that you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. So the Bible is clear. Man is in sin. Man has separated himself from God. Now, also, it is clear from this passage that man can come. It's possible to make a decision for God. Now, there have been statements made by the popes in the past few years, and also by many, many Protestants, and by writers such as John Calvin and others, that said that the man just cannot come to God. Man is unable to do so. In fact, one pope said that there is no such thing as true free will. God has to do everything for you. That's what Calvin also taught. Well, if that's the case, if God's got to do it all, and all the passages in the Bible that talk about whosoever, all the passages that talk about invitations, all the passages that talk about what man can do are meaningless. Why invite somebody if the person can't do it? Why open the door if the person can't walk through? Why give the invitation if the person cannot do it unless God does it for him? Now, all the people in our religious neighbors, for the most part, maybe not everyone, but for the most part, they do believe that doctrine, that God has got to do it. Some of the most famous preachers in America have gotten up on television and other places and said, you can't respond, let the Holy Spirit do it for you. The Holy Spirit will bring you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit will do it. And yet, the book of Revelation closes with this passage, whosoever let him drink of the water of life freely. Man can come. He isn't a doomed sinner. He isn't a sinner from birth. He isn't one that cannot respond. The Bible makes it clear. Yes, he is in sin. That is true. Yes, by decisions that he has made, he has committed sins. Yes, those sins have separated from God. But thanks be to God, he can come back. It is possible. Now, the third thing that we learn in this particular passage is a very important point. That is that man must come, not God. Almost all of us, if we're parents, we know the experience of having a toddler and the little child is just beginning to stand, wobbling a little bit, and you back up and you say, come to daddy, come to daddy. And the child just stands there just kind of, you know, doesn't know what to do, and say, come to daddy, come to daddy. Finally, that child just takes that first little step. That's a big time, a big important day, the first step. We all rejoice about it. Try to take pictures and all things. Of course, you never get a picture of the child taking the step. But just on that day. Well, it's important that we think about that same thing. God is saying, come. Come to your Father. Come to me. And God is not the one that departed. I read a story one time about a man and a woman that are riding down the road. And the wife all of a sudden starts complaining. And she's really upset. And she says, you know, when you and I first started dating, so we always sat right next to each other as we rode down the road. She said, now we don't do that anymore. The man said, well, I haven't moved. So it's the way it goes sometimes. Him saying the same thing. Who has moved? Did God move? Has God gotten farther away as we try to get closer to God? Does he step back? No. God is the one who is always there. We are the ones that must be reconciled to God. We are the ones that have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That is to tell others, you can and you must come to God. We have all the information. Everything is contained in the scriptures. And the answers to all of your questions are there. Everything is there, but you have to take the first step. God has done everything he can do. God sent the prophets to prophesy Christ. He sent his son to live on this planet. He sent his son, allowed him to go to the cross. Jesus gave his blood. Jesus rose from the dead. He gave the Holy Spirit to the apostles. They and the others wrote the New Testament. We have all the information. We have all the answers to all your questions. Everything is there. What more could God do? He established the church. He gave us the complete revelation that is the Word of God. God has done everything. Now you've got to take the first step. God has come so far. He's done so much to bring man back. But man now must take a step. There are times when people say, no, man can't do anything. There's no way that man can do it. Again, they say it's the Holy Spirit that has to. And that's just not in Scripture. If you meet somebody, if you talk to somebody who takes that position, just tell them, look, then why does God give the invitation? Why would God possibly give the invitation if man can't answer? Man can come, and man must come. God has done everything he can do at this point. Then also, fourthly, we find that when man answers the invitation, there are great and wonderful benefits. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. They have actually found some signs from Bible times over a carpenter shop. I remember one of them said this very simple phrase, says, my yoke fits well. It means that carpenter can make a yoke for the oxen. He says, my yoke fits well. And that's the whole point, that the yoke of Christ is not burdensome. It's just the opposite. When we come to Christ, our burdens are lifted. We have one who will be with us, who will help us and strengthen us in our lives. In fact, the Bible says the way the transgressor is hard. People try to make it on their own, and they say, life is so hard. Yes, it is. When you try to do it by yourself, when you try to do it without Christ, yes, it is hard. But listen to what the psalmist said. He said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He will sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Peter wrote to the early Christians and said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. And Christians do that with one another. It's what Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There are times when people say, I don't need help from anybody. And that's the biggest lie that's ever been told. Everybody needs help. We all do it, and we need it continually. We need people to pray for us. We need people to assist us. We need people to encourage us. We all need help. If you think you've done everything on your own, I just ask you, who taught you the alphabet? Did you look in some book and say, well, I'll just memorize these 26 letters? No. You had a teacher in school, and that teacher taught you the alphabet. Who taught you how to read? Did you just pick up a book and say, oh, I can read? I can see, I see Dick, I see spot, run, no. You had a teacher that helped you that. Can you add up in math and do it on your own? No, you had a teacher that helped you do mathematics, that helped you to add, subtract, and divide, multiply, do other kind of mathematical things. You had help. You had a lot of help. I had a lot of help. We all had help in our lives. So the idea somebody says, I don't need help from anybody, is just lying. We all need help. We had it. We still have it. We will always have it. And we need spiritual help. I don't know anybody who's a member of the Lord's church who says, I don't need anybody to pray for me. I don't need any prayers at all. Most people are honest enough to say, look, I need all the prayer I can get. I need help. I need somebody that's going to give me the assistance. I need to help God. I need brothers to pray for me. And we just have to remember that the burdens can be lifted by Christ. We also need to remember that everything that we do away from Christ is going to make life worse, it's going to make life harder, because we're trying to do it without the one who can give us the help. Jesus promised to be a burden lifter. He promised to take all the problems that we have, and no matter what your problem might be, you may have a problem with some emotional difficulty with somebody in your family. It may be a brother-in-law who's hard to get along with. It may be a cousin who's trying to cheat you out of something. It may be a next-door neighbor. It may be a friend. It may be a co-worker. It may be somebody that just tries to just make things miserable for you. Whatever it might be, You might have some emotional problems of other kinds, but whatever the problem is, whether it be spiritual, emotional, whatever it might be, God can help you with that burden. There is one problem that man has that God can't help you with. Now, sometimes the help is difficult. Sometimes it means you've got to admit sin. Sometimes it means you've got to make some changes in your life. Sometimes things have to go, things have to be different. That's true. But when you do those things, when you confess the sin, when you get rid of the sin in your life, then the burdens are going to be lifted incredibly. Christ will lift everything in your life, no matter what the trouble might be. You might have time of sorrow. You might think about a loved one who has gone on. And that's understandable. We all have been in that situation. But again, the thing about that loved one and all that they mean to you and all that they taught you, the fact that they're in heaven right now, the fact that they're with God and with Christ and they're waiting for you, that gives you joy and life. Christ eases that burden with that way. Now, man is separated. Man is in sin. Man can come. That is possible. Man must come. God has done everything he can, but now man must make the decision. And then when man comes, he is benefited with great and wonderful blessings. I hope you pray all of us will remember it. Look at this passage, read it continually, take the strength and the comfort there, and use it to live the Christian life. Now we're going to sing the invitation hymn. If you've not read the gospel, we invite you to do it this morning. We invite you to come forward and confess your faith in Christ, put him on in the waters of baptism. As a child of God, you realize you haven't lived the Christian life, you need to rededicate your life. Why not do that this morning? You need prayer for a particular need for yourself or somebody else, would you be glad to pray? Whatever your needs might be, we invite you to come and encourage you to come while we stand and while we sing.